This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So if I say to you, it's about time, what does that convey? Yeah. What else? Yeah, get with it. What else? Frustration, impatience, you've been waiting for something for a long time. It's about time. Okay, now what if I say it like this? It's about time. What does that convey? Yeah. It's about the essence and the importance of time, right? Two different ways to say the exact same words. Two different ways to experience our lives, either appreciating the moment or allowing in a situation to rule us. And it's hard sometimes. We all sometimes can do it. Sometimes we fall to that impatience and frustration. One person stuck in traffic, and they may start noticing the beautiful sky, or how the rain just hits the windshield just right. Next person might be fuming behind the wheel, banging on the steering wheel. Or if you're waiting, like at the DMV or something, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, some people might choose to people watch, or meditate, or get in a conversation with somebody else. Another person might also be silently fuming and complaining to anybody around who will listen. Right? Two different perspectives, two different ways to live our lives. We have 1,440 minutes every day. We have 86,400 seconds. And when the day is gone, they're gone. They're gone. It's up to us what we're going to do with that time. Because in each of those moments, in every single one, we can choose our perspective. Thought precedes emotion. I had the privilege of getting to know a father of a kindergartner in the school when I taught here. And he was dying of cancer. He was a wonderful man, and he was someone who lived his life to the fullest, both before he had cancer and after he got cancer. And I'll never forget what he said to me one day. He said, "I don't want to be inspired. I want to be the inspiration." And he was. He was in a huge, huge way. Now, to live life in an inspiring way, both for yourself and for other people, that is to be filled up with spirit. Inspire, it's the same root word, sparare, I've said that before. To be inspired, to live that kind of life in the bad times and the good, even through the tears and frustrations, is choosing the kingdom of heaven in this moment. Now, unfortunately, the usual interpretation of the kingdom of heaven is limited to just this place that we're going to go to, hopefully, after we die, right? That's the popular connotation, and it really limits us and gets in the way. Listen to what Episcopal priest Cynthia Bourgeau says about this in her book, The Wisdom Way of Knowing, and I quote, "The usual Christian interpretation put on the phrase, the kingdom of heaven, is as that place of endless bliss attained after death as a reward for good behavior, is a tragic distortion of what Jesus was actually teaching. Perhaps the best way to picture this intermediary kingdom, meaning where we live now, before we do die, in this moment, is to look at it as, I lost my place. I want to quote her exactly here, by which I look at it as the qualities of life, how we live our lives, which I mean the innermost aliveness of things. And she goes on. I return again and again to a remarkable story by Isaac Dennison from her years spent in Africa. You remember the movie Out of Africa? It's the book is based on the writings of Isaac Dennison. One day, out in the bush, she came upon a beautiful snake, its skin glistening with subtle variegated colors. And she raved so much about that snake skin that one of her house servants killed the snake, skinned it, and made it into a belt for her. To her great dismay, that once glistening skin was now dull and gray. For all along, the beauty had lain not in the physical skin, but in the quality of its aliveness. Don't you love that? Each one of us, she says, and every action we make has a quality of aliveness to it, a fragrance or a vibrancy uniquely its own. If the outer form of who we are in this life is conveyed by our physical bodies, the inner form, our real beauty and authenticity, is conveyed in the quality of our aliveness. This is where the secret of our being lies, our connection. Quality is that innermost energetic essence of our own life, shining through the outer skin of our being like the subtle glistening colors of that live snake in the bush. And we all carry that because we are all made in the image and likeness of God. We're not doing that ourselves. And yet, God's going to shine through each and every one of us in a very, very unique way. How alive we are is how we stay connected to our most loving and sacred God. Just this morning, woke up, turned over, checked the time, looked, and I had a text from my sister. She's in Virginia. Listen to what she wrote. I couldn't believe it. She sent me some pictures. So she lives in Virginia, the beautiful leaves changing. She wrote, I went out and collected a whole bag of beautiful fall leaves last week to send to you, but their color faded so much in 2 days that I figured they'd be all brown by the time you got them. Oh, well, the thought was there. The maple trees along our main road are all such a pretty red. This picture isn't as pretty as it really is, but you get the idea. She just sent that to me this morning. So for me, that's like a confirmation of what God wanted me to hear, at least, to be living my life in every single second aware, even if I'm upset, even if something is frustrating me, aware that God's doing something. And my sisters and brothers, sometimes when there is real tragedy or some real chaos going on in our lives that we can't figure out, buckle in, because some big change is coming. And it's important that we stay close and that we keep our lamps filled with oil and that we remember that, which brings us to our gospel. This oil lamp being filled is what this aliveness is all about in our connection with Christ. And Jesus tells us again and again and again and again about the kingdom of heaven. Right? Those of you who have studied the Bible, and maybe those of you that haven't, you've heard about the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Kingdom of heaven is like a buried treasure. Today, he's telling us that the kingdom of heaven are like these foolish bridesmaids and the wise bridesmaids. They have a choice of how they're going to stay connected to their being, to their creator, trying always to get them to listen and to pay attention. It's interesting that he would pick a wedding, because at weddings, deep emotion runs near the surface frequently, right? We cry easily. We might snap at somebody in the preparation that we're trying to make everything just so perfect. Jesus wants to get our attention in the nitty-gritty moments of our lives. When Jesus was teaching this, People were asking when the end of time was going to be. It was all about time, like we were talking about. And he was saying, no one knows that. Don't be bothered by that. You focus on staying close to me and staying close to God all the time. This aliveness available to us is there every second, every minute. So the groom who was coming, the wedding had already happened, and then the bride was to be escorted to the groom's house, and they have this big celebration, and they were waiting for him to come. I just want to point out that it was the guy that was late, not the girl. That's just an aside, but they're waiting, and they're waiting for him to come to be escorted to the groom's house, and he was delayed, so they fall asleep, and the oil runs out. And then when he comes, they all wake up, and they trim the wicks, and they go to light the lamps, and the five foolish virgins who hadn't kept their lamps filled didn't have any way to light them, right? So they wanted the 10 wise virgins to give them their oil. And they said no. Because if they had done that, there wouldn't have been enough to last the whole night. They didn't have electricity. If they had all shared it, it would have been lower and lower and lower, and then they wouldn't have had enough for the event. This isn't about sharing, this lesson. This is about not depending on someone else to do our inner work for us. We all have to be willing to do our own prayer work, our own walk with Christ. Nobody else is going to have that same relationship that you are going to have or that I am going to have with Christ. And that's the beauty of it, of that discipline. Delay is difficult. If we are not getting what we think we need, we're waiting for an answer, or we're waiting for a healing, it is difficult. And yet, that's when God wants our attention the most, in the dark places of our lives, to pay attention. To pay attention. Keep awake, Jesus says. Notice me. Love one another. Give thanks in all things. In closing, I have a story I'd like to share with you. It's called Why Dogs Don't Live Longer Than Human Beings, written by a veterinarian. Being a veterinarian, I had been called to examine a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. The dog's owners, Ron, his wife, Lisa, and their little boy, Shane, were all very attached to Belker, and they were hoping for a miracle. I examined Belker and found he was dying of cancer. I told the family there were no miracles left for Belker and offered to perform the euthanasia procedure for the old dog in their home. As we made arrangements, Ron and Lisa told me they thought it would be good for the 4-year-old Shane to observe the procedure. They felt as though Shane might learn something from the experience. The next day, I felt the familiar catch in my throat as Belker's family surrounded him. Shane seemed so calm, this little 4-year-old, petting the old dog for the last time, that I wondered if he understood what was going on. Within a few minutes, Belker slipped peacefully away, and the little boy seemed to accept Belker's transition without any difficulty or confusion. We sat together for a while after Belker's death, wondering aloud about the sad fact that animals' lives are shorter than human lives. Shane, who had been listening quietly, piped up, "I know why." Startled, we all turned to him. What came out of his mouth next stunned me. I'd never heard a more comforting explanation. He said, "People are born so that they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice, right?" The 4-year-old continued, "Well, dogs already know how to do that, so they don't have to stay as long." Keep awake. Live simply, deeply. The kingdom of heaven is now. Amen.